Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to The Cross in the Desert, speaking hope and freedom to Iran. I'm your host, Randy L. Noble, and I want to thank you especially for taking time out of your busy schedule to join me this morning on the broadcast. For the next several weeks, you and I are going to take an incredible journey together here on The Cross in the Desert. I'm beginning a very important series dealing with the subject of the oppression of women in the church. And I'm going to be talking to you from the heart, reading to you from my book that was published last August. The name of the book is Broken Yet Beautiful, Rising Up from Their Ashes. This book has been a long time coming. Since about 2011, I've been talking about human rights and the struggle for Iranians for freedom. And my focus has always been on the oppression of women in Iran, the oppression of women in Saudi Arabia, really the oppression of women in the Middle East. My focus has been on the way women have been treated in Iran for these many years. And it was just a couple of years ago, through correspondence with a dear friend who belongs to a church that is very oppressive to women. Unfortunately, she's in a situation she can't do a whole lot about it. I won't go into too much detail about it. But as we discussed this issue, and by the way, she is a frequent listener to my program, in fact, everyone, I told my friend, I said, I need to speak about the oppression of women in the church. There is so much legalism, so much discrimination, and what I perceive as a male hierarchy in the church. And after doing a lot of praying and researching and joining with groups that hold to the same viewpoint that I hold to, I began to write this book. And I want to take you right into this book. I don't want to waste any time because our time is valuable. Your time is valuable. I want to take you right into the heart of this book. I'm going to be reading from it, but I'm also going to be talking to you, not just reading the book, reading what I wrote. That would be a little mundane. But I am going to talk to you and read to you from this book. The one thing you will notice if you have a copy of this book, and by the way, you can get this book on Amazon.com in paperback and Kindle. This is not about selling books as much as it is to get this issue before you, because my calling is to be a voice for suffering women in the Middle East, and in particular in this series, suffering women in the church. Broken Yet Beautiful is a very important title. The subtitle, Rising Up from Their Ashes, I will explain in just a few minutes. If you get a copy of this book, you will notice that there is a dedication to a particular person right in the first couple of pages of the book. And I'm going to read this dedication to you, and I want to share with you some updated information on this dedication. Amna Al-Juwayd contacted me on Facebook in 2016 and asked me to be a voice for her and all Saudi women. I immediately agreed and began to write about the plight of Saudi women and their struggle against the male guardianship law. In Saudi Arabia, a woman must have the approval of a male, which can be her brother, father, or husband, in order to make any important decision in her life. She has to have male consent. She cannot travel, get a job, go to the hospital, or even leave home without first getting a man's approval. Women are treated like minors or second-class citizens in this misogynistic culture and imprisoned from the rest of the world through gender segregation. I would meet with Amna on video chats, and during our time together, I assured her that I was sharing the stories of oppressed women in the Saudi Kingdom on my radio program. She was really grateful for the support, and before we ended our video chat, I would spend a few minutes praying for her desperate situation. I could see the despair and the sadness in her eyes, but after prayer, I noticed a little glimmer of hope breaking through all that sadness. In October of 2017, when Amna could no longer endure keeping silent, she decided to make a video and share her story on social media. She explained that for many years, she had been the victim of her father's abuse and was forced to marry her cousin. Unable to endure the continuing oppression and abuse, she escaped from her home one night, desperate for freedom. For more than a year and a half, Amna hid herself away with other women who were also in the same situation. Leaving home without permission is a crime in Saudi Arabia and brings shame and dishonor to the family situation. Shortly after Amna uploaded her video, she was arrested and placed in a detention facility, which in reality is a prison for women claiming family abuse. In this prison facility, women have reported being physically assaulted and raped by the guards. No one had heard from her. In August of last year, my book was published up on Amazon. I'll never forget the day that I received the proof copy in my mail, that I got a message from a group that monitors the situation of women in Saudi Arabia. World Citizens for Saudi Women is the name of the group. And they shared the encouraging message that they had received notification that Amna had been released from her prison. They didn't know what exactly happened to her, whether she went back with her family, because the only person that can see to it that she's released is her family, her father. I was just overjoyed and just rejoiced that she had been released from this prison, from this hellhole. It came on the publication of my book, Broken Yet Beautiful. And her story, which I read to you, is in the very first opening pages, a dedication. Now, since then, I haven't heard from her. I continue to pray for her. I go to her old Facebook account with hopes that she'll rejuvenate it. I'm not sure exactly what happened to her. I know that if anything does happen to her again since she's been released, I will be notified through World Citizens for Saudi Women. Why did I use the story of Amna in the opening pages of my book? Well, she's a woman, obviously. She's being oppressed by men in a very Islamic situation. The world religion of Islam is the predominant religion, of course, in Saudi Arabia. That's the place where Islam was birthed centuries ago, where Muhammad lived in Mecca. But I used Amna as an illustration to make a point. we would expect to hear stories like Amna's in the Middle East. That's something we expect to hear because of the way women are treated in the Middle East. This is the last thing that we should hear about in the church, the oppression of women. Now, very clearly, the Bible teaches the equality of men and women. Jesus treated women with compassion and respect, so there's no problem, right? Well, but there is. It is the way the Bible has been used in denying the right of women to teach and preach in God's church simply because of twisted traditional understanding of Scripture down through the centuries. This book is a breath of fresh air in the ongoing debate. There should be no debate or controversy, but we're going to get in to all of the factors, all of the scriptures, all of the stereotypes that are used against women to keep them, quote, in their proper place. And that's why for the next several weeks, I want you to make it a priority to listen to this broadcast. If you're a woman and you have struggled with this issue, or you know those who have, or you're confused and you don't know how to decipher through all of these issues and you want to know more, this broadcast needs to be your priority. For a half an hour twice a week, we're going to meet together and we're going to discuss this. I'm going to shed light on this topic. I'm going to encourage you and empower you if you're a woman listening. Now, men are, of course, welcome to listen too. That is wonderful that we get both sexes listening. But the point is, I want to educate you. I want to stir your thinking. I want to motivate you. Why? Because if you believe you are gifted by God and you have a desire to teach, to pastor, to preach, but this barrier against women in the church has stifled you and kept you from even considering it, I have good news. The picture on the front of this book is a woman standing in the shadows at sunrise with chains dangling from both of her wrists, celebrating freedom. I'm going to tell you why I put that picture there. In the preface of my book, I want you to hear this. Why is it called Rising Up from Their Ashes? Broken yet beautiful, rising up from their ashes. In Greek mythology, there is the powerful tale of a legendary bird known as the phoenix. And according to this legend, the phoenix bird dies in a fiery combustion. And after a deep sleep in the darkness, is suddenly rejuvenated, born again, rising up from the ashes of suffering, being transformed into a new life. The phoenix rises up victorious from the flames, overcoming the darkness, conquering death, and stands poised in a majestic stance, displaying its wings in a declaration of triumph over all obstacles. Like the legendary bird phoenix, women today are rising up from the ashes of their suffering. Since the dawn of time, women have suffered discrimination and oppression in every culture of the world. They have been treated and trampled upon like second-class citizens, victims of false religion and misogynistic cultures. For the last 7 years, I have written several books defending the women of Iran from the unjust social oppression of Islam that has robbed them of their dignity and self-worth. I have told their stories on my radio program to bring awareness of their suffering. However, and here is the purpose for this book, there is another injustice going on that somehow had escaped my attention. While I was busy being a voice for the suffering women in the Middle East, another voice one day got my attention. Again, I don't want to sound like a mystic or a prophet. I'm not one to be led around by voices that claim to be from God. But as a Christian, I heard deep within my spirit a familiar voice that I recognized. It was the voice of the Holy Spirit, and he gently prodded me by asking me a question. Why don't you speak up for the women in your own backyard? Wow. Well, let me tell you, I was immediately startled and taken by surprise, but that voice is very familiar. Instantly, I understood the meaning of the question. It was as if the Lord was saying to me, you need to speak up for women in my church. The women in my church are suffering from many centuries of injustice because of their gender. I have gifted and called them to be leaders in my church, and they have been met with much opposition. It's time for you to be their voice, too. You know, I want to tell you straight out, I take that very seriously. I don't walk around saying, the Lord said this to me, the Lord. I don't do that. But in the calling I've gotten with the books I write, I know that still small voice. My sheep hear my voice, Jesus said, and I heard it. God is saying, you speak for the women in the Middle East. I've called you to do that, but also I want you to speak for the women in the church. Well, why? Christianity, unlike any other religion or worldview, is the only religion that recognizes the equality between the sexes. The Christian worldview proclaims the absolute equality between men and women, teaching they are both equal image bearers of God. Many Muslim women have left Islam after reading in the Gospels how Jesus treated women with dignity, respect, and compassion. They recognize the difference between a love relationship and an empty religion. Yet, in spite of the Christian worldview that recognizes the important contributions of godly women, a deadly, cancerous tradition that has twisted and distorted the truth of Scripture has kept women in bondage from realizing their calling. However, women are beginning to rise up like the phoenix bird and shout to religious Pharisees in our modern churches, we have had enough of bondage and discrimination and are rising up to answer God's call on our lives. The phoenix bird is rising up in the church. Please come with me on this powerful and eye-opening journey from the dawn of time to the present and discover with me the determination of women to overcome their oppression and break off the shackles of their chains. Come with me and discover what the Bible really teaches about women who have the calling of God on their lives and what Scripture actually teaches when seen through the proper lens of interpretation. Listen to this good news from the English Standard Version of the Bible, Galatians 3:28. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither slave nor free. There is no male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. I want to stop right there and just speak to you from the heart. If you're a woman listening to this broadcast and you are hurt, you're discouraged, you want to teach God's word, but you feel you need to do what you've been told to do. The Bible teaches you cannot teach in the church. You cannot pastor. You must keep quiet. Your husband is over you in all things. He is your head, et cetera, et cetera. And you're hurting. You're broken inside. I want my book and my program, my podcast, to give you hope this morning. If you're hurt and broken, I want you to listen to this beautiful song right now from Michael W. Smith and let God's arms around you encourage you to rise up like the phoenix bird and be healed.
arms are open. Come live. Come live in freedom here. Come live. The chains are broken. Come rest. Take his gift of grace, come rest, the word is spoken, come see, with spirit eyes, come see, the door is open.
A beautiful song of hope and healing by Michael W. Smith from his Stand CD project a few years ago, Come See. I hope this song has rejuvenated your spirit, has begun the healing process of those scars. Every Monday and Thursday at 9:30, we're going to meet together here on the Cross in the Desert. I'm going to take you through a journey. In my book, Broken Yet Beautiful, Rising Up from Their Ashes, we're going to go into what the Bible teaches. We're going to deal with those particular scriptures that have been taught that women have their place and no other place. We're going to deal with the stereotypes. This book is a book of hope and healing. The first section we're going to talk about on Thursday is the history of oppression. We're going to talk a little bit about that and then go into the book of Genesis and talk about what God's original mandate for Adam and Eve were. We're going to deal with this subject in depth. We're going to do it from what the Bible actually teaches. We're going to look at history. We're going to look at every angle of this, but I want at the end of the day to be able to say to you, here is what Scripture teaches. And women are seeing their call, and if they are gifted and they are trained and they are qualified, they should have the same right to teach and preach and pastor as a man does. There should be no gender segregation in the church. There should be no male hierarchy in the church. God's word says we are all one in Christ Jesus, Galatians 3:28, neither male nor female. Very clear that the Apostle Paul was not a misogynist. Why have we made him sound like one for long, many years now? So I'm inviting you. You can listen to this at your leisure anytime you have time at your convenience, or you can join me live every Monday and Thursday until we finish this topic. This is going to be what I'm going to be talking about for the next several weeks. And I hope at the end of the day that this broadcast will train you, encourage you, and give you hope so that when you know God has gifted and called you to teach and to pastor and to lead, that you will have no doubts and fears, but that you will do it in obedience to Him. I want to say God bless you. Thank you so much for joining me. Join me this Thursday again as we continue dealing with the struggle of women against male hierarchy in the church on my broadcast, The Cross in the Desert. God bless you. Have a good week. Thank you.